So we're down here in New Sufness, I'd say, in the new building here in Raheny, talking to Claire Brennan, who is General Manager in Sufness. Now, Claire, we haven't been down in Sufness building for a few years, way before COVID, and you were over in Coolock at the time. So what has changed and why did you just move to Raheny? It's a lovely building, by the way.
It's fab, isn't it? Yeah. No, our lease ran out in Coolock, so we had to start exploring. Where does the clubhouse go? Where does the clubhouse go next? It took us a little while to find this location in Raheny. So thanks to the crew in the Darndale Belcalf Vintage Centre, we were there for a couple of years, which gave us, I suppose, a bit of space and time to explore what was available.
Yeah.
And then we came across here in Raheny together,
yeah.
Presented that to the HSE, and they said, yeah, let's go for it.
Brilliant. So for people who don't know what Sufness is, explain when it's, like, how it was founded and when.
So Sufness is about 20 years now, but we were the second clubhouse in Ireland. Platinum Clubhouse in Newbridge opened a little bit before here, so they sort of were the trailblazers. And then Sufness came along a couple of years later. So we've been going strong really ever since, growing and developing. You know, when you look back at the clubhouse that you were in those days, it's just fabulous to see how far it has come.
And who is it for?
The clubhouse model is for people who would experience a mental health difficulty. It certainly isn't the focus of it's something that we have in common, but our focus is very much about recovery. What would somebody like to achieve? How could the clubhouse support you to do that? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Obviously, we would link in with other support agencies as people need them. But it wouldn't be moving forward as the focus of what we do.
Okay, great. Once again, down here in Sufness, in a new building. The last time I was in Sufness was over in Coolock. And Catherine, you're no stranger to Near FM. I think you've been in many a time now. But we're talking to you this morning, Catherine. As I said, it's been a while through COVID. We haven't had anyone really in the studio, so it's nice to see we're able to meet up again. And it's great that we've been invited down to your new building here in Raheny. So how have you been keeping, Catherine?
I've been keeping very well. I got through to COVID marvellously, and a lot of it, and most of it, besides family, is due to Sufness. Yeah. The way they looked after us from day one. At the start, they brought us our dinners, and I was only a few days after getting a hip replacement, and I wasn't able for doing that type of stuff. So it was a lifesaver for me, plus the communication. I think that was the best thing. You know, they phoned you every day, they made sure you were okay, and it just went from there. And then at different stages of lockdowns and opening up, when it did open up, we met in pods and we went for walks, and yes, like there was inclusion every from Monday to Friday all the time, you know, which was absolutely marvellous. Or you want to meet your key worker, you could go for a coffee with her and just sit and have a chat or whatever, and if anything was bothering you. Now, I know I wasn't well for about a week in January, and I said, I know what I'll do, I'll ring Claire. And just once I got it off my chest,
you felt better.
I recovered rapidly, you know, which was really, really great, you know. And I think that was the only setback I've had since 2009, since I joined Sufness, because of such great support.
So, Catherine, for people who don't know anything about Sufness and are tuning in for the first time today or listening to this podcast for the first time, tell us a little bit, what is Sufness and how you got involved?
Well, after coming out of hospital, I attended the day centre in Raheny. And then I was given a referral to come to Sufness, and I was apprehensive about it. But when I went to Sufness in Coolock, the warmth and the welcome, and what struck me most was there was no difference between staff and members. They were all together. So I now, as you can see, it's a testimony to it. It's doing me good, because now it's 2022 and I'm still coming here a few days a week.
Great.
And there's plenty of things to do and work to do and socials to organise and typing to do and reception, and you can go to whichever unit you want. You can either go to the admin unit or the maintenance and the kitchen unit. So it's absolutely superb. There's something there for everybody. But what I like, because I live on my own, is that every morning I come in here, I get a great greeting, good morning, and you know, it just lifts your day. And it could be raining outside, it doesn't make any difference, you still get that, I get that lift anyway. And I think if I decided to leave Souvenirs, my children would put me down.
So, Catherine, you mentioned you came out of hospital and you got in touch with Souvenirs. So it's for people who are suffering with their mental health. You came out of hospital, from your doctor, do you have to go through your GP to get involved with Souvenirs?
Well, you just need a referral of some kind, either from your doctor or your medical team. You will say it was saying Kilbarrack, the medical centre that you go to, that you're attending, whoever you're under, they'll give you a referral, or they can ring here and make an appointment, and they can see the place and take it from there, and they'll be given an application form and it can be signed by somebody in the medical field.
Now, I know, Catherine, you spoke many times, you've been in RFM and you told us all about your own story, and we're not going to go into that today, because you're going to come over again, we're going to have another chat in a few weeks' time. But you had
I had a breakdown.
You don't mind
saying that? No, not at all.
And that's how you got involved with Souvenirs. And only for, as you say, Souvenirs, it got you out every day. And we know people, you know, who are suffering with depression or anxiety, the one main thing that people say is to get in touch with each other, even have a cup of tea, just to have that chat,
Personally, I wouldn't tell people I had a mental health problem. But once I joined Souvenirs, it took the stigma away. You know, because I felt comfortable in myself about what I was dealing with. You know what I mean?
And you're involved with Souvenirs so many years now. Do you still think there's that stigma attached to...
No, not to the same extent.
No.
And nobody blinks now if you say you have a mental health problem, where years ago they'd nearly pull back, their body language would be completely different. You know, there's no... I think it's great nowadays by comparison. I don't know if Thomas or anybody else finds it the same, but I do anyway.
Only for places like Souvenirs, for people of the community that they can come in. Because as someone say, when you have a routine and you have something to look forward to, you know, to get even up out of bed.
That was the start for me, to get out of bed.
Exactly. It must have been quite hard through COVID. That must have been. I know you said you came out, you had your hip done, and your sister was there as well to help you. But, you know, for other people, they must have probably found it hard where they hadn't got this routine.
Definitely. You know, because. Even with us having the WebEx, we did a coffee, tea and conversation on the WebEx at 10:30 every morning, was great. So everybody said hello to one another in the morning on the WebEx, and you'd ask them how was their day, or if somebody was moving into an apartment, you wish them all the best or whatever, or if it was their birthday. You know, all these things helped, you know.
And you just weren't... put aside for those horrible months when there was no one around. They still kept in contact with you.
Never failed to get in contact with us.
And you had dinner brought up to you as well every day?
I did for the first
year,
brilliant.
That was great, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant.
So the staff here, they go way above and beyond.
They do, very good.
So and you're still here anyway, so that's proven. And there's so many facilities. Like, what is do you do?
But you make lovely friendships as you know, even if it's only to go for a walk. Or during COVID now, I went with Liam and Robert for a walk most days.
Very good. So we
just made a point of doing that, you know, so it's absolutely great.
And there's so many facilities here. Like, we're in the computer room. I don't know whether, have you got the cookery, the canteen that you've had in Coolock?
We have a kitchen in the back, and then down there they have the coffee dock, so it's great, you know, it's brilliant.
So what is an offer here for
at the moment now? They haven't, because of COVID, they just got the kitchen deep cleaned and all the rest of it now, so they're hoping to start back doing soup and sandwiches or something like that from next week. But prior to that, now we could, once we came in and you ordered your sandwich before 10:30 in the morning, that was to get you up and do things. They would get you a sandwich and super values if you were there here at lunchtime. We just put an order in around 11:00, and you know.
But what is your day in Souvenirs? What do you do here? Yeah.
Well, now for the last while, I come in on a Monday. I come in on a Monday and Tuesday, and I've been doing reception for 2 hours in the morning, you know, so it's grand. And you get to talk to everybody, you know, and people that you mightn't have seen for ages. There's still a few people that still can't come in. yeah. for some reason or other, you know. But you get to talk to them. And plus, we do an outreach all the time to people. We ring people if we haven't seen them or heard from them in 3 days. We don't leave it any longer than 3 days, and we ring them. And, you know, they'd even say to you, or even get a birthday card, or one of the new members that just joined since COVID, he's after getting an apartment, and he was chuffed the other day to get a card in the post wishing them all the best.
Isn't
that
lovely?
So little things like that. And we make our own cards.
And it's those little things that mean a lot.
Yeah, we make our own cards and our own posters. And like,
lovely.
You know, and say right, Thomas was good at it and I couldn't do it. I'd sit in with him and watch it, and then you try it the next time and he'd watch you doing it, and then there's more people able to do each task, you know, so we learn from one another.
Great.
You know.
Well, you're looking great, Catherine. As I said, you've been in your event years now, coming in. You're one of the first Robert to come in, and it was great seeing you, and you're going to come back in as well soon, but you're looking great.
Just one other thing to say about Souveness, that what I love about it is nobody ever asks you why you came here or what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, which is lovely.
Yeah.
And if I go to staff and say something, nobody else hears about it. You know,
it's all, you know. Have the support.
And yet we all enjoy one another's company, and we're all coming from the same patch or whatever, you know.
Right. Well, Thomas.
Good morning.
Thanks for that, Catherine. How are you, Thomas?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about your own story and how you got involved, when you got involved with Souveness. I haven't met you, I don't think, before. Well, the last time we've been over was in Coolock, so that's gone back a few years now. So tell us a little bit about your own story.
Thanks for having me. I'm in Souveness since January 2015. It's been an amazing journey. It took me a year to settle in because I was only coming straight from hospital. So I'm just a different guy.
Yeah.
It just completely changed me. I've learned how to cook. I've got better social skills. I'm able to go out on outings with other members. I'm able to keep chat with people. The staff have been brilliant with me.
That's great.
Absolutely.
And I suppose the first day or the first week is the hardest. The first step is the hardest to take.
Yeah.
So when you come into a place like Souveness, it's probably at first a bit daunting. Probably saying,
very daunting,
how am I going to, I'm not going to fit in here. So as I said, it kind of took you a year to settle in. And what did you say, like, there's so many facilities, you were in the kitchen, were you, did you say?
No, I would be, I'm a technician, so I would be involved with all the computer end of things.
All right, okay.
I would do tutorials with people if they have problems, issues with their laptops or anything, I would help them with that, or I'd have teaching classes, or so. It's been fantastic. It's just really kept me occupied and gave me a purpose and a structure.
Yeah, to get up and come in.
Yeah, because I was in a rut for years.
Were you?
Yeah. So to have that structure and that meaning is just been everything, really.
And how did you get on through COVID? How did you find?
Surprisingly, very well.
Did you?
As Catherine was saying, like we had the meals, we had our pods system when. We had a pod system. I had a good friend John who kept in touch with me as well. That I'm a good friend I made through the clubhouse. So
lovely.
I got on very well through COVID.
And through Souveness, like they seem to offer an awful lot of, as I say, computers and an awful lot of help. But do you still? I remember talking to. I can't remember now because it was a few years ago. But he was doing work experience as well. Do you still? Souveness still offer that? Can you go out and do some work experience?
Yeah, well, we have an education system in Souveness. Hobby courses at the moment. I'm doing a IT support specialist course. I'm coming to the end of that.
Very good.
I got that through the clubhouse as well. So I've 3 passed out 4 modules. So then I'll be on to work then, please God. So
are you hoping to get a full time job now?
Well, I'll probably go part time first and then
how you get on.
Take the step onto full time.
So what's your routine like? Do you come here every day?
Well, I'm studying at the minute, so I try and get in 2 or 3 times a week, and I would come in and sit with members and help them and go as Catherine was saying, do a bit of reception, which was great for me to do the reception, because you get to meet the members that you haven't seen for a long time, and
so there's great friendships that have been made through Souveness. You have a very good, well, before COVID you had a very good social life as well. You're always going out and about and seeing photos out and about, and hopefully that'll start again.
We're starting tomorrow.
Oh, brilliant. Bring us off to tomorrow.
We put out asked them to give me the list of what they might like, and they settled on we go to the model railway in Malahide. So there's between 12 and 16 of us going tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock We're meeting in Malahide and we're going to the model railway. So and then when that's over, we'll have coffee outside or whatever, because as a group, we don't still, we're not allowed to go in. We can go in threes, but that's, you know, so we'll just work it out between ourselves. Some might have fish and chips or whatever, because it'll be around 1 o'clock. But we'll make a nice day of it tomorrow, and the weather's supposed to be good.
It's supposed to be a lovely
and
weekend.
We told them who we were, and instead of being 7.50, we got it for 5.50. So they're absolutely delighted, the members, you know.
Great.
So it was it's grand, and very helpful that we're out in Malahide Castle.
Lovely. You know, that's something to look forward
to
now, isn't
it? I'm looking forward to it now tomorrow, yeah.
Really, really good. So, Catherine, you're going to be involved doing the reception here, I'd say. Forever, really. You've been involved for so long, but it seems like you're kind of one of the longest members here yourself.
Robert is longer than me. He's a year ahead of me.
Is he?
And now, Damien Pitt, he was in... He came from what they called Mahailock. It was a workshop where the unit was in the Coolock, and it transferred over to Suvness, and he's here since 1993 or something. Mm. He's with them, with the group, you know, and Jim Reid is as well, you know. So
it's great to see. Yeah, it is great to see. Like, see, we're going to talk to George's going to talk to Margaret now in a few minutes to get the rundown. Like, it's great to see these facilities around the areas, you know, for people to have that kind of, I suppose, helpline just if they need to. Yeah. Get help. And I know with COVID the numbers are probably still a little bit low at the moment, and a certain amount of people can come in, but it's getting back to normality.
Last Monday was there was a good crowd in. I think there was seven I think in here and five in there, and it was great to have 12 people. But the buzz when you came in was absolutely fabulous, you know.
Yeah.
And we also have something else that they've just done since COVID, since we came back. They got in touch with the business association in Raheny, and they've joined the Tidy Towns, and we've an area now to look after, and they look after it 2 days a week.
Lovely.
And it's great, and the maintenance section, they look after that, and they're doing a great job, because there was areas that were in an awful state, and now they're lovely.
Well, that's great. And if your allotment in St. Anne's Park
as well. They were down there on Friday, and they were painting the fence on Wednesday and Thursday, and they put down some vegetables, and so it's all coming back, thank God.
It's looking nice. Mm-hmm. It's looking really nice, the allotment.
Yeah, I'm dying to see it. I'm going to go down and have a look someday. Now, Thomas and Catherine, as you're here a few years, so when a new person joins, and you know, like a new person starting, I know you'd make everyone welcome. What does that, as you know yourself, it must be very daunting to come in and quite frightening the first day. How do you welcome that person in, and how do you make them, you know, settle in?
They bring people in now on a Wednesday at 11 o'clock, and they might only bring in two or three, and show them the whole place and see, is it for them? And then they get the paperwork all done. And when that's all sorted, they invite them back for what we call an orientation, and they introduce them to every place and show them everything and let them sit in the coffee dock and members speak to them and all that. And then if they're all happy with that, then they give them the date to start, which might only be a week later, you know, which is grand. And then they tell us the day before, there's a new member coming in now, get your act out together and make sure you give them a big welcome and talk to them, you know what I mean?
That's nice,
you know, because it is important, and people are very good at talking to people now, they really are. And I honestly do think they feel at home, you know. And even we had one or two that joined during the pandemic, and it was hard to know, will they stay or not? They're only going for a walk every time, you know, maybe just out to St. Anne's. They'd be bored out of their tree nearly. But no, it worked out. We got about five or six members, you know, which was great, you know, which we didn't expect.
A member once joins, and they don't really kind of want to get involved. They just want to sit and talk. Can you just do that as well?
Oh, yeah. And the nicest thing about it is that you don't have to spend the whole day here.
Yeah,
you can come in. If you want a sandwich, you come in before 10:30 and put your name down for the sandwich. Otherwise, you don't get one. And other than that, you can come in at 1 o'clock. You can come in at 2 o'clock. You can go home when you want to. There's no big tie down. You know, like I was here the other day and I got a phone call, and I was waiting for a plumber for 3 weeks to say he'd be around to my house in 20 minutes.
So you could go.
So I just went. You know, gone like a flash. You know, which is the freedom of that is brilliant. You know? And like, you don't have to say I'm coming in tomorrow or I'm not coming in tomorrow. You can just come in now that things have lifted. We did have to let them know in advance so they'd watch the numbers, you know, because of COVID, but not since last week now.
Right. And is there any other, like, say, arts and crafts or any other classes that go on within the building?
We did do art when we were down in Coolock. Now, COVID came shortly after that, so I suppose to a certain extent we haven't got around to that. Now, we don't have huge space for doing art, but we do can put it into our work order day. But we have a lot going on, really, haven't we?
So what else is available? If you're not into computers, what else could you do?
Well, a lot of them go to education, and they go out to Collège de Doulic and they do reading, literacy.
Oh, nice.
And there's a lot of people get help with that, which is great, because I remember a man in here, and he used to get me to write his Christmas cards to his children in England every year, and he went and did the literacy course, and last year he hadn't asked me at all.
Ah, brilliant. That's great.
You know, which was great, you know. So all those things help. Now, I'm after doing a course down in Clear, the last... since Christmas.
Okay.
And it's a media course, and it's to do with learning how to use your smartphone.
Okay, I could do that myself.
and it was brilliant. There was only five of us in the class. It was free, and it was the lady, no matter what instructions she gave to the class, she came around individually after every instruction
to
make sure you understood it. And she was great. And I'm trying to encourage people to take it up in September.
Yeah, so you can get, when you get involved with students, they can put you on out to do courses like that, or Collège de Doulic or somewhere.
Yeah.
But if someone is just wanting to kind of get back into the community and has no kind of special interest in anything at the moment and just wants to come in and sit down and maybe have a chat or do something. Is there like anything
else?
You
know what, it's great, they do come in, but it's funny, after a little while you'd say, listen, would you like to do such and such a thing, and eventually they warm to it and they get up and they do it, even if it was only to hoover the hall, you know, or water a plant or whatever. But it does get them going, you know what I mean.
It's just, I suppose, to see another human being. Sometimes people are on their own.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks a million, Catherine.
Okay.
And I said, you're looking great, and hopefully you'll be in the RFM soon. And yourself, Thomas, thanks a million.
No problem.
Now, George, you're going to have a chat with Margaret Webb, who is the general manager.
Can you tell us about a typical day for you, Margaret?
Okay.
Is there a typical day for you here?
Well, I suppose maybe let me explain a little bit about what my role is, George, really. I mean, I suppose I'm a coordinator of services, so I don't spend my day as such in Souveness, but I'm heavily involved. I was actually involved in setting up the service in the first place, because Souveness is one of seven clubhouses that we have, and we're part of the HSE. But the reason we love Clubhouse is because it's about people. And it's about the human factor, and it's about people being people, relating to each other as other human beings. It's not about rank, it's not about your title or anything like that. It's much more about a service that connects people to other humans and connects them to their community. And you know what, the mental health policy, that the country's mental health policy, is really all about that, living a good life in your community and the life you want to live, not someone else's idea of the life you should have. So club is a great model because, again, we have a set of standards, and those are the standards up there on the wall. But again, it governs, it's a set of rules that were devised by people with mental health difficulties who said, this is the type of service we want, and this is how we want to be treated. You know, so we want to be treated equally. So as Catherine said at the start when she came along, like, you didn't know who the staff were and you didn't know who the members were, because actually it's a side-by-side model. And this is what we loved about it, because it's really all about the values of kind of promoting people's kind of independence. It's about compassion in terms of how we are with each other as human beings. But it's also about talking to people like Thomas and saying, okay, so what do you want to do? Well, I actually eventually would like to get back into employment, but what are the steps along the way that might help me do that? And when you come into the clubhouse, it's a work order day model. So the clubhouse, our members get involved running the club. So you run it like a club, and the IT unit here is actually the admin unit. So all the administration for the clubhouse gets done in here. And as you guys say, like, we work alongside each other. So I might have never chaired a meeting in my life before. But when I come to the club, I might participate in the meeting, then one day take the minutes from the meeting, then the next day, actually, I might chair the meeting. And all the while I'm building up my confidence again in terms of who I am as a human and the kind of things that I can do. And all of this builds like steps and stairs to get you to a point where actually maybe you can go out there and look to get involved in a course in the community. Or you can think about getting a job. because it's about, like I often say to people, we're in the confidence building game. Yeah. Because if you've had an experience that maybe has kind of knocked you off your path in your mental health, it's about getting back on that path. But a lot of it is kind of, you know, getting the confidence to do things again and to do them for yourself. The trick in the clubhouse is actually, it's members, it's for each other. And it's, as I say, that human connection that allows us to believe in ourselves again, that we can do these things. And the staff are there working alongside, but just facilitating the process, as opposed to kind of like back in the old days when it was workshops and things like that, it was very much a kind of a staff-led situation. We invested in this model because it's about peer support. It's about people supporting each other. And that's the power. So when somebody knocks on the door and says, I'd like to come to Susan's Clubhouse, they're going to be greeted by members. The person on reception is a member. Yeah. Somebody who can relate to them, who has that lived experience, who knows what it's like to be terrified outside that door, and to take that first step, which is huge, you know?
And what's it like for somebody like you to see somebody come in for the first time and see them go through that transformational change?
Look, it's
that must be something really special.
It's so special. It's why I'm and have really spent my life working in this area. And I've seen, say, as Thomas has said there, like you came into our head office and did work placement in there again and did a fantastic job cataloguing and doing all that work with the Solanu team. I have seen people grow in strength over the years. I have seen people find their voice. It's inspiring. But an awful lot about what the service does is that we work alongside each other and you see hope. You see hope coming. People become more hopeful about their lives. Now, I obviously, at a very personal level, find that very fulfilling, which is why I've always loved working in this area. But it's why I really believe very much in club. And I also believe in how important it is for people to be connected to their community. So the move to Raheny was a fantastic opportunity for us. Now, we did shop around a lot, in fairness, for a good location. Yeah. Catherine and ourselves, we trod the boards and tried to find it. You know, it's hard to find real estate. But when we hit on here, even though probably space-wise it's maybe not as big as we would have liked, the fact is it's in the heart of a village. We're connected now to the Tidy Towns. We're beside our allotment down in St. Anne's Park. We're also connected into the business community. And we're hoping like that, that will lead to partnerships around work opportunities for people, and you know, where people will be able to get employment in their local community. Mm-hmm. You know, so as I say, for me, I think it's all about inspiring hope, and I think members inspire. Like, people will be looking at you now and saying, "Look at that, Thomas! There he is, and he's actually now getting a job. You know, finishing a course, moving on to a job. Catherine's just done her CLEAR course around, you know, social media. Let's face it, using smartphones was a big challenge for a lot of people during COVID.
Absolutely.
But you know what I mean? And people get hopeful then, seeing someone else's experience. So for the person coming in who maybe just initially just is going to sit there and just observe and watch, they're seeing other people's journey and experience and becoming inspired by that.
And the view is amazing.
Yeah.
I have to say. It's an incredibly kind of bright building.
Oh, it is, yes.
Yeah.
Optimistic building, would that be fair?
Well, absolutely. And I suppose for us, again, lovely natural light, ventilation, you have a view. But also, as I say, you walk downstairs, you're in a village.
Yeah.
You're in the heart of a community.
What I love is when I need milk or bread or whatever and I'm going home, I don't have to go somewhere special. I can just drop in and into the car and off, you know, it's great.
I don't have that luxury. I have to travel back to Swords.
But I mean, I think for us, the clubhouse model is very powerful because what it does is it works with people, their strengths. As Thomas was saying about coming in, he can, with other members, he can kind of be there for a member and show them how to do something. Yeah. You know, and the arts and crafts, we don't do arts and crafts per se in the way you might traditionally see it in another service, but actually we make birthday cards and we send greeting cards to people. Yeah. Now that's again an expression of connecting. We're always connecting with people, we're always there, and that was what COVID was about. COVID was about connecting and maintaining that connection. Like, as I say, even if the doors were closed, actually we were still all the while connecting with people. Yeah. And in fairness to Susan's, the whole virtual stuff, you guys really led the charge on that in terms of kind of getting stuff up and going with that when it was hard for everyone to...
Well, for people who come in here for the first time, it can be quite daunting.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
They can come in quite nervous. They don't know what to expect. They'll probably have to open up in ways that they haven't opened up before. But to have that support structure there, how valuable is it that they can walk into something and they can talk to people who know and can relate to their experiences and what it's like to walk in here for the first time?
I always remember a member saying to me that the most important thing for them was that when they got the courage up to come to the service and knock on the door, they were met by a member. And they said that that was the most powerful thing they experienced, because they knew they were relating to somebody who knew what it was like to walk in their shoes. And they said that that was, and you know what, that just sold it for me, really, in relation to what this is all about. It's all about the power of the peer group. It's all about what we learn from each other and what we draw from each other. And I think that is so immensely reassuring for people. And as you've heard this morning, friendships grow out of all of that. Connections grow that are very, very powerful. And they can be lifelong.
Yeah.
I think you've made some lifelong friends.
For somebody coming in for the first time who's maybe had to deal with these issues on their own without having any valve, to walk into something like this and there's immediately somebody there who has probably been through what they've been through or something similar.
Yeah.
And for the first time in years to have somebody who they can speak with without being judgmental about it.
Someone you can relate to. Absolutely.
And for you guys, how important was that?
It was very important. Yeah. As I said earlier, it took me over a year to settle into Silvanus, but it was vitally important to have someone that you could communicate with and understood you. And the staff were so compassionate as well with me and gave me time to settle in, and then you just grow from there then.
And how important is time?
You just go at your own pace. Like, I used to kind of beat myself up about time, but I don't anymore. It's a process, and you just give it time, and you eventually start climbing the ladder. You come in, have your cup of tea, have your little chat with the members, and then you do, as Margaret was saying, you do the minutes, you lead the meetings, and I've just grown from there, and I'm back in education now, and I'm looking to push on to a full-time employment. So
you're doing great.
I think the time is vital, because you can come in to a place like this and you kind of have an expectation on yourself to perform. You're not ready for them. How can you explain the networking? How does the networking work?
I think the warmth of being brought in by a member and sitting down for a cup of tea, and they're willing to chat with you, and another comes over and says to you, "You're welcome," or whatever, that you see the warmth of the place, you know, and you take in what's going on, even though it might only be subconsciously, because usually when a person comes in, they're so shy and so kind of locked in themselves from what they're going through.
I'm probably quite scared
But what I love is to see somebody come in and maybe as the weeks go by, see them develop.
Yeah.
That they're not shy anymore, they're starting to take part. The difference, it's immense.
Is Souvenirs nationwide?
No. So basically we have 7 clubhouses in Dublin, one of those is out in Kildare and one of those is in Wicklow. So the HSC on the East Coast would have 7 clubhouses, and then there's a clubhouse over in Sligo and there's one up in Castlebar, but that's it. And I suppose we operate to the standards that have been agreed internationally by the international clubhouse community. And that's really important for us, because what that actually means is that we always work towards this very high standard. And the standard is really about, are we living to the values? Are we operating in accordance with the rules that the members agree? And those rules are reviewed, those standards are reviewed every 2 years by the international community, all the clubhouses, and the guys all have an opportunity to voice any kind of commentary about that or suggestions.
And does it come to a stage where a person has been probably, like yourself, Catherine, of years, and you say, okay, it's time to move on, or are you welcome to stay?
To be honest, people are, it's lifelong. It's lifelong membership.
So, but you know, under pressure to.
There's no pressure. And back to your point, George, about time and everything like that. The point about it is, somebody knocks on this door, they know they have lifelong membership. They can come in. Some people come to the door and leave.
Yeah.
But they come back 6 months later. because they just weren't ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they know it's here. So then people start to engage and they do it all at their own pace and all in their own time. And some people will fast track and, you know, they could be out in the job in a year's time. Mm-hmm. And other people will need to take their time. But the point about it is you can use the clubhouse as you wish in accordance with what's right for you.
Yeah.
And that is the trick.
Adding to that is that, say I come in as a new member and they give you a day in each unit to see which one you'd like, and then you pick one just to keep the place organised of what's happening. But say in 3 months' time, I think the admin unit really isn't for me. I can switch to maintenance.
Hmm.
There's no barrier on which one you're in, so it's that I think that's brilliant.
So how many units are
two
units are
when the catering goes back
up? Well, the catering go under the one thing, and the admin and careers go under this.
So, if there's anyone listening today to the podcast or to the show, and they would like to get involved, is there a waiting list?
There is. They will have to make an application. Mm-hmm. So the thing is to kind of if they're interested in knowing more about the service, is just get in touch. That would be the trick, and find out a little bit more. Obviously, look, we have a blog and that where they can see information about the service as well. But I think the thing is just to make contact, because sometimes, again, it's just good to make contact. It's good to and just talk to the team here around a place. But can I just make a point? Just to say, sometimes this whole thing about people and lifelong membership, the idea is for us that if people aren't worried about losing their place, in some traditional services you come in at 6 months, it's 2 years, and then, oh gosh, I better not lose my place kind of thing. But sometimes we have to take risks in life. And like, you know, you took a risk going back to education.
Yeah.
It may have worked, it may not have worked. But you know what? You'll take that risk if you know you don't have to worry about losing your place.
Yeah.
And it's like you'll try things out because you know you always have the support of the club. And maybe like that, the club might be there supporting you in education behind the scenes. So the trick around all of this is like sometimes in life, I think we just need to know that it's okay to take a chance on something. And the club is there for people throughout. And that's what that promise of being always able to be a member of the service is about. It's not that people necessarily choose then to stay all the time, as you say. You come maybe 2 days a week, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's as much as, you know, you choose to use the club. But I think it is important that people can see that they have opportunities to take chances, to try things out. A lot of life is trial and error. You know, some things work and some things don't.
For members to feel like they belong to something, because again, getting back to the whole isolationary thing that they may have gone through before, and again not have had that valve to have spoken to people about whatever specific problems they have. It just seems to me that because this place is so open, so bright, it's fresh, there's so much going on here. And there doesn't seem to be any big bosses around, so there's no intimidation, so people can speak with freedom.
Well, there's great freedom because, I mean, if the lads have any problems, I get a call in the office and I come out and I sit there and we chat about things. No, but in fairness, we've had those experiences members were unhappy about something and I'd get a call and I'd come out for the chat because, you know what, there's no big secrets about, like, we're running this service for each other, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's... So really, at the end of the day, all information is out on the table. All cards are on the table, really, in terms of the service. But the sense of community, I think, is what you're talking about there, George, because it's about a sense of community. Mm. And really, this becomes, when people engage with the clubhouse, what they become part of is a very, very supportive community, isn't it?
Yeah, it grows on you.
And again, they can choose to be as much a part of that or as little. You know, they can do that at their level. But again, as I say... It's about what happens. It isn't just about this building. It's about this network of people that they become part of. And again, we have our wider clubhouse community, our other clubhouses. We get together and there's a lot of back and forth with that. But I mean, as I say, it's essential. I think we all need to feel part of something. I think, unfortunately, when people experience a mental health issue, it can be very isolating. You talked about stigma earlier. It can be very isolating. So getting that connection going again, being able to relate to people at that very human level, and as you say, the people with lived experience who know what's going on for you, is immensely powerful. And I think it's some of the charm of the club, that at the end of the day, that's the little bit of magic. It's the peer support. that people get from each other, and just knowing they can be themselves.
How many people have you got using this facility right now?
So what's your membership at this stage, Catherine?
In the 40s, I'd say.
Yeah. I'd say you're probably about 40 or 50 active membership, and now on your books now, in terms of your members.
I think Claire said before the pandemic there was around 300. But you see, say I come to the club and I decide today that I'm going to take a break for a year. I come back, and all you have to do is connect with the club and say you'd like to come back, and all they ask you to do is come in and have a fresh orientation day, so that if there has been any changes, you're familiar
with
it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's great, and that openness is there. You know what
but
I mean?
But the reassurance is great to have that, to, as you said, to give you that little bit of opportunity to try something, but still know that you have the safety net if you need it. That is a great assurance.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So listen, I think we'll wrap it up now, because we could talk for hours and hours. And it's been great talking to you again, Catherine, and yourself, Thomas, and Margaret. Thanks for joining us
today.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
And hopefully the next time, if you can come into the studio, I know we're down here in this lovely building today, but you can come into our studio
lovely
and we'll have a chat and keep up the good work. It's great.
Well, it's brilliant, really.
Now, would you just give out the contact details before we go, so people can get in touch?
I have my phone with me for the number.
you can Google Souveness Clubhouse, and we have a blog, Twitter, YouTube pages, so
just on the
Souveness. And the phone number is on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, thanks again, guys, for talking today. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks, George. Thanks, Debbie.